day and you're tired, and I may be going over some of the same things everybody else has. So try to stay alert. Okay. It appears that the word good and kind are almost interchangeable here. I've looked at different versions, and they all use either good or kind. For instance, the King James Version, kind, and the ESV, I mean, good, and the ESV, kind. And from childhood, most of us understand the words good and kind. We've heard our parents say, be good when you go to grandma's, or be kind to your brothers and sisters. We've heard it over and over. That's a good boy. If we grew up in the church, we heard Ephesians 4:32 in Sunday school. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We may even have memorized it in Awana. As adults, adult believers, we try to apply these verses that we've heard and memorized. And now, if you ask my family if I'm an expert in goodness and kindness, you will surely get the answer no, and maybe you'll laugh. But I'm thankful to say that I know the one who is the expert. And in his word, he reveals his own kindness as well as how we can reflect it. Looking at Romans 1, Paul begins to make a case for man's sinfulness and his need for a Savior. Then in Romans 2, Paul turns to the pagans and shows the moral man, the Jews and the Gentiles alike, the fact that they too are under God's wrath. But then, like light shining out of this dismal circumstances of man's wretchedness, comes verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? There are many different words in the Greek that are translated good or kind. The two words here are very similar. The first is translated usefulness, excellent in character, and gentleness. The second also gives the idea of being useful, better, or easy. It's as if Paul's trying to say, can't you see the riches of God's excellent character and patience? Do you not see that he has a better way that is meant to lead you to repentance? I would like to take a break right now and tell you how God led me to repentance. I, very similar to Chantel, was raised in a devout Catholic family in Chicago. I have two older sisters and three younger brothers. In the middle, I often felt very alone for some reason, and I was not outgoing. I was very shy. I very much wanted to please my parents and my teachers. I attended schools all the way through high school, and then my sisters, they went to Catholic colleges, and I said to myself, I do not want to take those theological classes, so I'm going to the university. And I went and studied art. There was a very nice Catholic church there, and I attended it with no idea that I was looking for anything else. I was complete. I thought that I had it all together, but behind this, I really had no purpose. I went back the second year without purpose, just there's nothing else to do. So, but I began to see each week these signs, because it was leading up to this slide presentation that Campus Crusade wanted to put on, and it was if I should die. And so I would look at these signs, and it was they were everywhere, and I was beginning to think, what do you mean if I should die? And so I asked my roommate, who was also Catholic, if she would go with me. And she didn't, so I went by myself, and it was about a couple that got into a car crash and asked the question to the audience, what would you do, you know, where would you go if you died? And they prayed a prayer at the end. I prayed lots of prayers in my Catholic upbringing, so I thought, well, I've prayed that before, and walked out. However, I had said that I was interested in more information. They called me, and I Thought, well, maybe I don't want to hear this. And so, but then they asked, well, a different day. And I am a very willful person, so I said, okay, come over. And so they came over, and I was very rude. I was building my frames I had to build for art class. And they were speaking to me the gospel, and I had never heard this before. And I was very much, it was very much affecting me, but I didn't show it. And so I'm just like, okay, leave. And then after they left, then I thought, who do I know that knows about the Bible? I couldn't ask them. But so I went to a friend that was down the hall and talked to her about it. And she had said that she had been praying for me for the last year. So God just led me to her. And she was in Navigators, similar to... and so she got me into a Bible study, and right away I had people that were mentoring me. I had it was an amazing time. I remember the kindness of the people. It was amazing to me. It rocked my world. Let me find where I am again. So then I continued a little bit in my Catholic background because I continued to go to church. But then after a while, I started going to two churches, and I had to decide which was right. And I was not getting fed at the Catholic church, so I started to go to a different church. And they were very much feeding me. And then I went home and started to say this to my family. And I, at the time, didn't know much else besides Navigators. And so when I spoke to them, it was kind of more like, oh, you're in a cult. And so that was very hard. And I also had a very good friend who was a priest, and I spoke to him. And he said he even used one of my letters in his sermon. But then the next summer again, when I called him, and I can even remember where I was and talking to him, and he said, are you still into that? And I thought, aren't you? And so that's when we had the big disconnect and started to fade away from that. One last thing on my testimony. I began to go to Christian conferences, and one stands out that the speaker said that when all of you, this was a college group, graduate, there was this huge number, percentage, that would fall away. And when I heard that, I just thought, Lord, not me, not me. Why would you do that? You know, just don't go away from me. And so I was thinking that these people all knew the Lord, but I think that for me, I was just hanging on to him. I really wanted what he had for me. One of my favorite chapters is in Ephesians 2. And I am going to read 1 through 7. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of the mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to wait before I read verse 7 and think about what it says. He did all this for us for this reason. so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. One of the purposes of God giving us new life to show us is to show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That is what we have to look forward to. One of the reasons that he has brought us to life is to show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. Now, how do we reflect God's kindness and put it into action? Doesn't it seem like kindness takes a back seat when we're troubled and fearful and upset, frustrated and angry? I like Psalm 42:11 because the psalmist is in this very state. But he reminds himself of who God is and tells himself how to help his disquieted soul. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Sometimes I have to peel away the layers like an onion skin to find out what's bothering me and to see why kindness has taken a back seat. Like the psalmist, we have to ask ourselves, what is my big problem that I can't show kindness right now? What is bugging me that puts me on edge? Am I being selfish or prideful? The psalmist says to hope in God, who is his salvation. In the light of what God has done for me, how important is this issue that it causes me to lose my joy and sacrifice kindness? The passage I'd like to look at next is in Colossians 3. If you wanted to turn there, it's a longer passage. Starting in verse 12, there's some commands. I'll read 12 through 14. "Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Then I believe Paul starts to tell the reader how to put on these virtues. One of these virtues being kindness, I am going to read on to verse 17. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." So that's verse 15. We want to fight for peace. Fight for peace in our hearts. Ask yourself questions. Why am I not peaceful right now? Who is God? What has he done in the past? And answer those questions. Verse 16. I don't think I read that whole 15. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. 16. "And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Spend time in the word. Memorize it. Meditate on it. "Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Take time to teach other people what you've learned. It will be a blessing to them and a kindness. Even if it's a small tidbit of wisdom from God's word, it's really better for you to learn it if you can get it to the point where you can tell somebody else about it over the phone or you bump into somebody, I was just reading this, and give them that little tidbit that you've learned. And then, who can be unkind while singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? So he gives us lots of ways. Then verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we're again commanded, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask yourself some more questions. Can I really do this in the name of the Lord Jesus? If I feel it is a legitimate issue, how can I approach it in a kinder way, and therefore in the name of the Lord Jesus? Is my pride something I need to deal with here? Which is often what is the problem with for me. Then have you noticed the theme here? It's thankfulness in each verse. And it's a heart issue. Let me read 15 through 17 all the way through and listen for the thankfulness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If we are thankful people, we will be more kind. Because who can be unkind when they are thankful from the heart with the blessings of God? Well, you've had a long day, and I'm finished. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you are a kind God and that you are desiring to be kind to us, not only now, but in the future when we have no idea what you have planned for us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember all that you've been to us and all that you will be to us. Help us to focus on that when we have the unkind thoughts come into our head. Help us to remember that you have blessed us beyond what we can imagine. You have given us eternal life. We already sit in the heavens next to you. We thank you that that we can remember these things and even have joy, that you've given us that ability in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.